And happy to be back. And looking forward to a big TV event tonight, the two-hour premiere of Season 6 of Lost, a show that I have watched every single episode of, and every week that it's on, I watch it and think, well, they've got to answer one question on this week's show, and then week in and week out, if they do answer any questions, they ask more questions, or they raise more questions in the mind of the viewer. So today I've turned to a guy who has written a book on the subject. It's called Lost's Buried Treasures, the unofficial guide to everything Lost fans need to know. He and his co-author, Lynette Porter, have updated this for a third edition that covers everything through Season 5 last year. David Lavery, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Happy to be with you.
What questions are we going to get answered either tonight or in the upcoming weeks?
Well, the pattern that you talk about of answering a question and then posing several more has to come to an end because they're at the end now. So I suspect we're going to get lots of answers. The Entertainment Weekly reports this week that there will actually come a point this season where someone is going to ask exactly what is the island, and someone's going to answer it on the show.
What and where is the island?
And when?
Yeah, that's right, because with all the time travel and flash forwards and flash backwards, we don't know where we are at times. But when the season ended last year, when Season 5 ended, they had just set off Jughead, this hydrogen bomb on the island, and it was Juliet who was lying right next to it and detonated the thing. Now, I know that in the world of Lost, it's possible that everybody survives a hydrogen bomb, but certainly Juliet can't have survived that, can she?
No, and they have actually admitted that Juliet is dead. She's going to appear this year, but in flashbacks.
Okay.
And she's got her own show now. So she is dead. I would beg to differ. We're not absolutely certain the hydrogen bomb went off. It could have been the incident that we saw and that we know took place in the history of the island. We don't know whether that incident was the electromagnetic blast or whether it was the hydrogen bomb being set off. So we're not exactly sure what that whiteout was at the end of the season.
I made an assumption that as a Lost fan, I should never. You can't make assumptions with
right,
this show.
That's right.
Just because John Locke has been shot with a bullet through the chest and he lies there dying does not mean that he's dead. And in fact, he died again. We saw him in a coffin.
Right, we saw his corpse, but they did say in Entertainment Weekly, they told Jeff Jensen that he is dead.
Okay, so who's the guy who was pretending to be John Locke?
Well, it's clearly Jacob's nemesis, the loophole man, some fans have called him, the one who said that he wanted to kill Jacob at the beginning of the final episode of last season. And it said that he would find a loophole that would enable him to do it. It would appear that maybe the entire series has been that loophole.
The entire series is the loophole. There's no chance that this is all in Hugo's mind.
No. Can you imagine the anger in the fans, including myself, if they did something
If they went all Saint Elsewhere on me.
Right.
That'd be really PO'd.
Right. Well, or if it turned out that Jack was in the shower the entire time.
With Patrick Duffy.
Right. That would really be interesting, wouldn't it? So, with Sawyer, I can believe, but not Patrick Duffy.
No. tell me some of the things that you want to have answered this year. I mean, you have investigated this thing and written about it and talked about the influences of this book. So as a fan and a researcher, what is it that you are looking forward to finding out?
Well, I really want to know who Jacob is. I mean, what exactly? We got the sense that Jacob and the man in black, the loophole man, are age-old, that they've been on that island forever, that they've been trying to outwit each other forever. It would be helpful to know who exactly they are and what their connection is to the Egyptian god that is represented in that statue. It would also be very helpful to know why Richard Alpert is ageless. I would also like to know.
I think it's because of his guy liner.
The DVDs solve that mystery. He just has naturally dark eyes. It's not.
That actor?
Yes.
Nestor
on the DVD, you see the makeup person trying to brighten his eyes because so that led to lots of fan speculation that it was some Egyptian reference. I don't know.
Okay.
But I would also like to know exactly why who Lana and her group are the ones that were carrying Locke's body around on the island.
Yes.
Because she's a regular this year. She's going to be in the regular cast. And that tells us something. I'm not sure what it tells us, but it tells us something that she's going to be in every episode. Widmore had predicted a coming war on the island. Clearly she's representing with her troops one side of that war. And we know it has to be Jacob's side because we saw in flashback that Jacob had come to her when she was in that military hospital and asked her to help him.
Yep.
So we want to know about the Black Rock. Most of all, we want to know what the Spunk Monster really is. Those are among the questions that we want answered.
Who and what is the Smoke Monster? Is it some sort of supernatural being that's controlling other activity on the island?
Well, I'm inclined to think that somehow it is connected to the Man in Black, and that because when Ben went down to be judged beneath the temple, you may remember that we saw the Egyptian goddess facing off with the Smoke Monster in the iconography on the temple wall, and that would suggest that they are figures somehow that represent Jacob and his nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that the Smoke Monster is apparently on the side of evil, and yet we can't tell. You remember that when Locke and Mr. Echo looked into its face the first time, they saw it as good. The second time around, it tried to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, it did, in fact, kill Echo.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with David Lavery, co-author with Lynette Porter of Lost's Buried Treasures, the unofficial guide to everything Lost fans need to know. The central characters on this show, central male characters anyway, who are really the strongest ones, are Jack and John Locke. Jack, the doctor, who is the voice of reason, the science man,
right.
And John Locke, who was the man who,
man of faith.
He's a man of faith who was in a wheelchair before he went to the island, and now he's been able to walk and do all sorts of things, like coming back from the dead and on and on. Well, if John Locke is really dead now, that's half of our central character conflict gone.
Well, in many ways, Locke, you're right that they're the two central characters, but of course Sawyer has emerged as a character, particularly for the fans who love Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we have all kinds of things to resolve between Sawyer and Jack as well. For example, does one of them get Kate or not? I think it is likely to be a very intensive Jack year. They've indicated as much in interviews that this is going to be all about Jack's atonement. The fans aren't crazy about Jack. They've always been in a bit of a problem. The fans have tended to gravitate toward other characters like Hurley and Sawyer and Locke, even to a degree. So the more they emphasize Jack, the more problems they have in storytelling, because the fact is the fans aren't crazy about him.
Well, I'm one of them. I think he's the least interesting of the main characters on the show. They use him essentially to be the frustrated guy at the heart of the exposition.
Right.
But every time he has to make a decision, it looks like the most agonizing decision in the world.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the worst episodes of the series have been about him, like the one where he got his tattoos. So.
Oh, yeah.
Forgettable.
I'd actually forgotten about that one completely. Yeah. What about Charlie and Desmond, two characters who, for a long time, had a major role in this and, of course, ended up underwater together, and Charlie died underwater.
Right.
Desmond went home to be with Penny. What do you know about them?
Well, Desmond has definitely got a role to play. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Hawking told him that. You're not done with the island yet. We know Desmond is going to be back without the sexual harassment charge filed against him. That court case has been solved, I read. Charlie is even supposed to reappear, too, but I'm sure it'll probably just be in flashbacks. Charlie is apparently dead and on flash forward as well. So, but Desmond, I don't think we are done with Desmond. Desmond is gonna he's sort of the story's Odysseus or Ulysses, and he's the ancient Greek poem that is evoked often in the show, and I think he's going to play a role here in the final episodes.
All right, now explain to me one thing about the time travel separation. We've got some of the original characters who are locked 30 years, or pardon the use of the word lock, but they are living 30 plus years ago in the past compared to some of the other characters. And of course, in the distant past, they are the ones who set off the hydrogen bomb in an attempt to kind of undo everything that had been done to them and has happened to them since.
Right.
Do you see in this season that all of those characters resume living in the same linear time frame?
I do. I do think that's going to happen. I mean, the title of tonight's episode, LAX, would seem to suggest that the hydrogen bomb explosion did work and that they've all been returned to, that the flight from Sydney to Los Angeles has in fact landed.
But wait a second. If you look at the way ABC has printed it, it doesn't say LAX. It says LA, and then there's a space
and an X. I know. And I don't think that is what's going to happen. That's too obvious for the people who make Lost. I mean, Darlton are going to surprise us, I'm sure, in some way here. They have said that this season is going to be all about the question of predestination and whether you can actually change time. I suspect that we're going to find out that Faraday was wrong, and that wrong with his second opinion, and that his first opinion was the correct one.
First opinion being
that you can't change, that everything cannot be changed.
Everything that has happened will happen again, no matter what you do.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But I also suspect that those two timelines are going to be reunited somehow.
Well, they have to be. Otherwise, you don't have a big finale to the season.
Absolutely. We've got to get Sun and Jin back together, for example.
Yeah, and they're living in different times.
Right. Right. They haven't gotten a chance to be reunited. Another big surprise is that Claire is a regular this year after being absent for the entirety of last season. And granted, she won't have Charlie to fawn over her, but she is supposed to be a regular in the season, as is the pilot, which also confuses me, because how could everything have been changed if the pilot, Jeff Faraday's the actor, could be an important part of the season, because he came with the freighter and he shouldn't even have a role. So lots of questions. Well, I'm sure we'll get a few of them answered tonight. But your initial question will we have these questions answered? Imagine if they hadn't negotiated an end to this show. Imagine if they hadn't agreed with ABC to end it this year.
Yeah.
We would still be looking at them stringing this along for, what, 3-4 more years?
No, you're absolutely right. I think it's a good thing that they're going to bring
it. Oh, it absolutely is.
Too many other serialized dramas don't go that route, or they get canceled and you never get the answers.
Absolutely. Their model, interestingly, was Harry Potter. They went to ABC and said, look, J.K. Rowling said she was going to write 7 books, and at the end of the 7 books, the story would be finished. And they said, why can't we do that and have 6 seasons? And they asked for a specific number of episodes. They knew exactly how many episodes it was going to take to tell the story that they wanted to tell.
So now speculate. Let's do our own little flash forward here.
Okay.
The end of season 6, the season that's about to start tonight. Flash forward to the end of season 6. Where are we?
Oh, gosh. I wish I knew. I've been asked that question a lot.
I think we're at the Starbucks at LAX, aren't we?
I can tell you this. Let me be this brave, and it's not very brave. People will die. I am almost positive that we're going to lose several of our key characters.
Okay.
And that's become a given of television. You know, somebody has to die. It could be as major as Jack. It could be that someone like Jack dies, but he'll die heroically. And the other thing that I would predict, in this one, without fear of contradiction, is that we will still be left with questions at the end. They have been, for the last, they being Lindelof and Cuse, have been, for the last 2 years, been trying to prepare us for this by saying, you know, you know, in Star Wars, we still don't know what the midichlorian really are that caused the Jedi to be, you know, such great swordsmen. You know, there are mysteries in shows that remain mysteries, and I think that will be the case here. We will never know, you know, spelled out in black and white what that island was. I think it will remain mysterious.
David, you have written books about Twin Peaks and The X-Files and now the third edition of Lost Buried Treasures.
Yeah.
Which of the three was the most confusing?
Well, you know, I read somewhere recently that a major television writer said that Lost was second to Twin Peaks, and that's simply not true. Lost is way more confusing than Twin Peaks because Twin Peaks only ran for 20-some episodes, whereas Lost is over 100. So the possibilities of confusion are immense. We've been asked to remember things longer, to hold questions, you know, up in the air, unanswered, spinning plates, if you will, like a juggler. You know, we've been asked to do that for much longer than Twin Peaks.
Now,
and X-Files, it just lost us because they lost it. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, but Twin Peaks had good pie.
It did. The food has not been as good on Lost.
No. The book is called Lost's Buried Treasures, the unofficial guide to everything Lost fans need to know. It's a great read, and now in its third edition, which means it's updated through season 5 with Lynette Porter. This is David Lavery. Thanks for your time today.
You're very welcome.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.